Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And answering, Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the word of the Lord. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? This is the whole of our religion and the object of our celebration. It's Christianity. I know there are cartoon versions of our religion that ask God who he thinks we are so that we can celebrate ourselves. That was St. Peter's religion until Holy Week. That was St. Paul's religion until the Damascus Road. And we all know that liturgy, inside and out. We have said with Peter, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Only to say, "Well, yeah, I'm the greatest. After all, who's holding the chalice?" Peter was a walking contradiction. So am I. So are you. It's been that way ever since the forbidding cherubim have been flashing their swords. Satan is the most popular teacher of doctrine and says that the longer you walk with Christ, the more comfortable you will be with yourself. He would like to comfort us in self-celebration, to feed us with his morphine drip until hell closes like quicksand over our Novocaine smiles. He even quotes scripture verbatim. But when St. Paul wrote things like conformed to the image of his son, he wasn't celebrating the comforts of personal growth. Unless you think morphing into a crucifix is comfortable. Tell me, doesn't it get kind of constricting when you think about becoming a pastor? Knowing what you know about you. When the irresistible force meets the unusable object, we call it ordination. Who wants to live with any contradiction, let alone admit the contradiction is you? Peter didn't. He didn't want to learn that he was ignorant of his own confession, but to live with the disappointment of knowing himself to be an equal opportunity mouthpiece. Get behind me, Satan. Peter was in seminary under Jesus for 3 years and was appalled to tears when the rooster crowed him his progress since he knelt that day in the boat. Same guy. But Peter himself wasn't the only contradiction he had to live with. After he had made his great confession, the Lord took him in closer, beyond those immortal words and those shining keys, to see the underbelly of how salvation works, where all the dirt and the blood is. Peter didn't want to live with the contradiction that Christ, the Son of the living God, must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter and his fellow apostles wondered what in the world the atrocities that happened to Jesus had to do with those glorious keys. As you Greek students do now. Oh yeah, sure, Peter and Paul are giants and giant contradictions. We're just little guys, I know. Peter's shadow healed people. My shadow's just too big. But you came here with conviction, guts. You left your homes, your jobs, maybe even your families. You've made your great confession. You've left your nets. And now Dr. Scare is showing you the grisly underbelly of what it means to study as a pastor. and you are wondering what in the world principal parts and pluperfects and future more vivids and late nights with coffee and ginkgo biloba have to do with those keys and with this. Are you disappointed that so much of the work is mechanical and seemingly impossible? Are you disappointed in your own attitude, your impatience? Are you put off that it's all so cross-shaped? Christ Academy, are you cut out for the holy ministry? Have you found the contradiction as you have listened to these giants in class? You can love learning this so much and at the same time realize that no one is cut out for such a thing. And I know how some of you second career guys feel. All those years you study and pray and work and worship, and God just gets holier and you just get more sinful. The gulf of contradiction widens and deepens. How could you ever be a pastor? You know too much. Too much about him, too much about you. Is that why it took you so long to get here, guy? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Christ only gives the keys to contradictions, because that's all Christ found. Simon confessed what he didn't understand, and Jesus named him Peter, knowing he would cut and run when salvation got dirty and bloody. But here's what the feast is about. Jesus knew that as surely as the Father gave Peter his apocalypse, that Peter's faith would not fail. And Jesus knew that the mob, the same mob that condemned him to the cross, would be terrified on Pentecost when they came up against the rock. Today we celebrate a coward that fearlessly preached faith into a killing machine and did in fact lay his life down for Christ. Today we also celebrate a Pharisee, an unapproachable Pharisee, who suffered much for the name of Jesus, all for the privilege of being the chief of sinners and serving graced pagans. Because above all, today we celebrate the supreme contradiction that swallows up and justifies every other contradiction. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who is the one who has no place to lay his head? Who is the one who is called a drunkard and a glutton, a friend of sinners? Who is the one who will spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth? Who is this unwelcome traveler who has misunderstood all his life and would lay dead in a tomb? The Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Sabaoth, God in a body, was stripped of his garments and his righteousness and left bleating as a wounded lamb in outer darkness, and was cursed and lifted up, pinned to a cross like a fluttering moth, while we process into paradise with robes and crowns because we were baptized into that contradiction. World without end, amen. Thank God. And when you process to this altar to eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, the Son of the living God, at no other time in this life is the contradiction so apparent. I mean, look, this isn't right. And the Holy Ghost says, look at the cross, love. Take, eat, take, drink. Ever since Jesus said, thou art Peter, Sinners presume to lock and unlock heaven. Petros is the first of us who just don't get it, and yet through whom God speaks. We will always be little guys, full of contradictions, until morning comes, just like these huge apostles. In the epistle, Peter is right in the middle of a heroic biblical narrative, and he's not buying it. He did not know that what he was seeing was done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Oh, look at the angel. Hey, my chains are gone. It seems so real. Isn't it funny how the mind works? And you thought spirituality.com was new. Yet he wouldn't have been in jail in the first place if he hadn't, in fact, followed Jesus to prison, denial notwithstanding. Jesus had prayed for him that his faith would not fail, and it didn't. And that's what we celebrate today. Faith that, against all odds, doesn't fail, because it's faith in Jesus and comes straight from the word of Christ. The glory of Christ is the contradiction. Wait till that Greek that exhausts you now preaches the sermon for you, while you stand in the sinful black, covered and contradicted by the righteous white. And Jesus will build his church made up of contradictions called simul justus et peccator on one contradicting rock, the humiliation of Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen.